I've got 10 seconds to tell you all the places you could enjoy a podcast on the Sony Ericsson W810i Walkman phone. On a train, on a bus, out shopping, in a hot air balloon, skydiving.
Welcome to the Times Podcast.
Right about now.
Hi, welcome to this week's Times Podcast.
The Funk Soul Brother.
I'm Stephen Dalton now. And it's my pleasure to welcome this week's guest, Norman Cook, aka Fatboy Slim. We are sitting on the back balcony of Norman's house in Brighton with the waves washing up on the beach. Maybe I can start by asking you, Norman, what does Brighton mean for you? You've lived here most of your life, I think.
Brighton means home. But I've been here 23 years and I think it's one of the coolest cities in England. I'm not really into London and I'm not really into the country, and I do like the beach.
We keep reading about your celebrity neighbours here. Elvis lives a couple of doors down.
Yes, Elvis, yeah.
Saddam Hussein.
No, he moved out.
All right.
Yeah. His house got repossessed.
And we're also here to talk about Norman's greatest hits album, which is called Why Try Harder.
Without a question mark, I might add.
Yeah. Like What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Did that not have a question mark?
But I suspect he had deep reasons for doing that.
Well, I had very deep reasons for doing it too.
Can you tell us some? Can you share them with us?
Well, it's a statement, not a question.
Right.
Why try harder?
That's either really deep or incredibly shallow.
Or a bit of both.
Perhaps we can talk about some of the tracks, the hits that have made you the superstar DJ that you are today.
Stop fawning.
And you're probably sick of talking about these records. But it's 10 years since Better Living Through Chemistry. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you know it was going to get this big?
No, absolutely no idea. It was a hobby at that point. I was in Freak Power, I was Pizza Man, I was Mighty Dubcats, and the last thing I wanted was another alter ego. It was just a hobby that kind of ate the rest of my career, took over.
Yeah.
And none of the other bands have actually split up. It's just I haven't had time to do them.
Right.
But no, I had no idea. It was just supposed to be a bit of fun.
Obviously, pop stardom has its upsides and downsides. When you talk to DJs and dance music people, they like to stress their underground credibility. Does it bother you about being underground, overground, or wombling free?
I prefer to womble free. No, I think my underground status I sacrificed a long time ago. What was it on? Credibility, 50-50, yeah. Depending on who you talk to. Yeah, wombling free, I like. I mean, the thing is, I've never been too precious about wanting to be a cult. But at the same time, I didn't want to be a superstar. So, yeah, halfway between the gut and the stars.
Okay. Maybe you can just tell us what these tracks mean to you. A really big hit is the first track, The Rockefeller Skank.
Yes.
Memories of that, making that record, what does it mean for you?
It was the first record I've ever made where when we'd finished it, me and my engineer sat there and went, this sounds like a hit. Because normally when you finish a record, you're bored titless of it. You've heard it 500 times in the last 2 days. And you're like, I hate it. And that one took quite a long time because we had to edit it. And at the end of it, we sat there back and listened to it and went, that actually sounds like a hit. Which I thought was the kiss of death, but apparently not.
You can't normally spot a hit then?
It's hard to get distance. Once you've heard something 200 times, you don't know if it's good or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of the artistry of making records is knowing when it's finished. Do you know what I mean? It's like, should we listen to it again or not? But that one, we sat back and thought, yeah, job done. The one and only time it's ever happened in my career.
Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now.
Crazy was also another big hit. It's certainly not a conventional dance music pop hit, is it?
Well, that's kind of what I liked about it, but that's why I thought it wouldn't be a hit. We kind of knew there was something special about it. It had a kind of charm about it. And I did have a bit of a row with the record company about they wanted it as first single, and I said, no, kind of first single, it might bomb. You know, like, hold it back, do the more obvious ones. So we did it third single, and sure enough, it worked. And it got to number one.
And the Spike Jonze video is what people always talk about, the award-winning Spike Jonze video.
Which did help it a lot.
Right.
Every time I hear Praise You, I still can see those dancers in my head. In fact, I'd wake up screaming in the middle of the night sometimes, doing their dance moves.
And you pop into that video very briefly at one point.
I do, a very brief cameo.
Hitchcockian almost.
That was the idea until I couldn't actually turn up. So now there's always a picture of me or a painting of me or something. But that one, yeah, I was supposed to actually walk past and put like a dollar in the hat, and Spike was supposed to bump into me. But when we did it, he knocked me flying. And I landed on the CD player that we were using for playback, so we couldn't use that bit. No, I do like my little appearance at the end, pretending to be a passerby. Closest I've ever done to acting in my whole life.
Yeah, and, you know, award-winning.
It's quite funny, the receiving awards for that, I always say I feel funny taking the award, because it was Spike who made it. It's his idea, he made it. All I did was walk past in the background. We've come a long, long way together, through the hard times and the good. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should.
What makes you decide whether to do a remix or not? Because you still do quite a few, don't you?
Yeah, I do it if I think I can do a good job and make the record better. If just doing it for the sake of it, there's no point. And if the record's really good already, there's no point. It's if I hear something and it only takes one listen, and I either go, yeah, that's great, but you should have done that, and you should have done that, and you should have sped it up, and, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of records, I send them back and say, it's finished, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't broke, don't fix it. Some I say I'm not the right person for the job. I'm very choosy. I mean, I turn down probably 49 out of every 50 that I'm offered. But it's when I can hear something. I mean, I've just done Lily Allen.
Yeah.
Because I think she's great and it's a good song. I do enjoy taking records that aren't out-and-out dance records and try and make them into dance records.
Yeah.
That's probably my forte. Like Brimful of Asher.
Yeah.
It was a great song, but I phoned them up and said, can I do a remix? And they said, we can't afford you. And I said, can you give me the parts, because I want to play it at the club. And your version isn't quick enough and it hasn't got a bass line on it.
Yeah. I'm going to vandalise your record.
Well, no, I just said, can I have, you know, make my own version?
Yeah.
And then when they heard it, they said, oh, yeah, actually, you're right, it's better.
Weapon of Choice, which was another, if I remember right, that was another Spike Jonze video, dance, right? With Crystal Walking Dancing.
Yes.
Again, not an obvious dance record.
And not an obvious dancer either. The gag was basically Spike met Christopher Walken and they were chatting, and basically he trained as a dancer, not an actor, but he was a better actor than a dancer. And he said something to Spike about, I'd really like to get my dancing down on tape, you know, while I'm still young enough to do it. And Spike just ran outside and phoned me up and went, Christopher Walken tap dancing? And I went, yep, fine. I love him as an actor, and the irony of him doing such incredibly camp dancing turned me on.
He's nifty on his feet. How good a dancer are you?
It depends on how you interpret the word dancing. I've got an interesting approach to dancing, which some people find appealing, and other people, particularly my wife, finds it appalling. It's on beat, but yeah, it's kind of goofy. Don't be shy by the tone of my voice. Check out my new weapon, weapon of choice. Yeah. Don't be shy by the tone of my voice. It's the new weapon, the weapon of choice. Yeah. You can blow with this, you can blow with that. You can blow with this, or you can blow with that. Or you can blow with this, or you can blow with that. Or you can blow with us. You can blow with this, you can blow with that. You can blow with this, or you can blow with that. Or you can blow with...
I See You Baby is also not your record, isn't it?
No. Nope.
Is it Groove Armada?
Groove Armada, yeah.
Right. But you kind of radically changed the record, the original record.
Well, it was actually, it was a B-side. and I could just hear something in the hook. And originally it was kind of sort of minimal techno record. This time around it was different because Zoe knew them, and so she sort of said, "Oh, Norm's playing it a lot," and they said, "Oh, might you want to do a mix?" And I did, and it ended up on a car advert, and again they were gracious enough to allow me to put it on my greatest hits. It's probably on theirs too.
Yeah.
Again, that was one of those ones where it came on. I was like, I'm sure I know that tune.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you, baby. Wonderful Night, which is more recent, isn't it? Is that off Palookaville?
Yes.
Right.
And that's Latif.
Right.
Who's been featuring more and more on my records. Latif is from San Francisco. He's in Blackalicious and Latyrix. When we finished recording that one, the studio's next door, and we came back, and my wife, my PA, and my son's nanny had been drinking, and we played it to them. And all three of them took their tops off and danced to it.
That's the test that all records should pass.
We thought, if it's that good, it's got to be the single. It's a wonderful night, you gotta take it from me. It's a wonderful night, come on and break it on down. It's a wonderful night, you gotta shake it from me. It's a wonderful night, come on and break it on down. It's a wonderful night, everybody can see. It's a wonderful night, come on and break it on down. It's a wonderful night, go ahead and release. It's a wonderful night, come on and break it on down. You know the music search engine need a tune up. Soon as they out the gate, they all wanna hit a corner.
Right Here, Right Now, another huge record. I think that's still off You Come A Long Way Baby, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, most of the really big hits were off You Come A Long Way Baby.
Yeah, well, I was on a bit of a streak there. I was sort of kind of like the new kid on the block, next big thing, which is quite funny because my career was already 15 years old by then. That was when we were kind of riding on the crest of the wave. And to be honest, Right Here, Right Now, that was like, I think, single 4 off that album. And I thought, well, A, everyone's bought the album. B, it's not really a pop record.
Yeah.
But it got to number 3. But it's kind of the anthemic quality of it means it gets used a lot of football matches, political rallies, bar mitzvahs. I like the idea that Arsenal come out to it before their matches. I had a bit of an issue with Tony Blair using it. My sister had a big issue with the Young Tories using it. But no, it's nice. It's nice because, like I said, it's not a traditional pop record, but it still gets used on the TV a lot. And
yeah.
I like things like that. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now.
More from Norman after this.
More from me after this.
With the Sony Ericsson W810i Walkman phone, your podcasts are always with you no matter where you go. Find out more at sonyericsson.com/W810i.
Welcome back to the Times podcast. I'm Stephen Dalton and I'm chatting to Norman Cook, a.k.a. Fatboy Slim, in lovely sunny Brighton, right next to the sea, where Norman lives. Sunset Bird of Prey is a Jim Morrison sample, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, kind of atmospheric cinematic record, I would say, rather than another one that isn't an obvious dance record.
That was the first one after the madness that was You Come A Long Way, Baby. And it was me trying to do something different. Trying not to just repeat, you know, make the same album again. I found the sample on a bootleg. And, yeah, I just wanted to not do a big beat record. It was about the time when I kind of figured the good ship Big Beat was going to sink and I didn't want to go down with the ship.
Yeah.
So I was trying to kind of expand it. And luckily, Jim Morrison's estate agreed with me. Yeah. There was a really lovely quote, Ray Manzarek, is it?
From the Doors.
Was asked about it and he said, Bird of Prey was a tune that we were working on when Jim died. And he said, thank you, Fatboy Slim, for finishing it for us.
Right.
Which I thought was a great compliment.
It's like Free as a Bird by the Beatles.
Yeah, but without sounding like ELO.
Yeah, well, you could still have your ELO period.
No, thanks.
Bird of Prey. Bird of Prey. Flying high. Flying high, bird of prey, bird of prey, in the summer sky, flying high, flying high.
Do you think as a man of more mature years, you will ever get excited about music the way you were during punk or during acid house?
You know what? No. I'd look at music in a different way now. It's not so much about excitement. It's about setting a mood. It's about, you know, when you're having a barbecue or, you know, a sunny roast or driving, you're just like, yeah, in this mood, rather than jumping up and down. I think I'm too old to jump up and down to records now. Now I just sort of listen to them and gently nod my head.
Do you get excited by other people's records these days?
I wouldn't say excited. I enjoy them, and things like Jim Noir, a mate of mine brought a CD round when we were having a dinner party, and I just sat there and went, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I loved it and I really enjoyed it, but I wouldn't say I was excited. I was just pleased. I was pleasured by it.
What a beautiful image.
Being pleasured by Jim Noir. I always had a thing about Ashbury hippie culture. I was too young to be there first time around. Sometime around the time of maybe when I was experimenting with chemicals, I started getting into, and I got very heavily into the whole Timothy Leary, Ken Kesey kind of underground hippie culture. And when I heard that sample,
yeah,
I just thought, yeah, you've got to make a record out of that.
So it's acid rock as much as acid house.
Well, that was just acid. Well, no, it was just that whole hippie thing about the man. And
yeah.
You know, I had a period where, you know, I'd watch the Woodstock film over and over again. And, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I was around in those days. Looked like fun.
You haven't heard the phrase, never trust a hippie, then?
I didn't
go along with that.
When I was a punk, we hated hippies. You know, hippies were the stoners who never got anything done. And, you know, we were, you know, the young, thrusting new people who were going to revolutionise music. But as I mellowed with age, I kind of thought, oh, actually, no, they had a point. I suppose my musical and personal thing's gone from the punk ethos to the hippie ethos.
Right.
You know,
I think
why try harder rather than let's smash the system now, yeah. Now it's why try harder. Life's good. Life's good. Love's good. Don't go around spitting at people.
Yeah.
Hug them.
Demons,
yes.
Tell me about Demons.
Demons was the first track where I used a guest vocalist. I was on holiday with the Chemical Brothers and they said, what are you going to do in your next album? I said, I don't know. And they said, why not have guest vocalists like we do? And I said, well, how'd you do it? And they said, well, you just listen to a vocalist that you really like, you ring their record company and they either say yes or no. So I drop a wish list. And Macy was number one on my wish list. It was just when she had the first single. And I just thought, what a brilliant soul voice. I met her at the Brits and thought, what a
character.
Genius. Character. Well, I was going to say lunatic, but lunatic in a nice way.
Yeah.
And yeah, and just phoned up a record company and said, do you want to do a record? And she said, phoned back the next day and said, yeah.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, it's that easy. Recording it was not quite so easy because of our schedules at that point. It's the only record that I've not recorded here at my home in Brighton.
Right.
And I had to go over to LA because Macy couldn't get over here.
Okay.
And she also turned up 4 hours late.
On hip-hop time.
Yeah. Bling time.
Bling time.
Which was quite weird because I was sitting in Sunset Sound, which is where the Doors used to record. Sitting there for 4 hours, the engineer is going, and when do we start? And I was going, I don't know. And I was getting more and more nervous and more and more sort of and ringing her, going, Macy, are you? And she's going, yeah, I'm on my way. But she was 4 hours late for the first day. At the end of the first session, I said, tomorrow, could you try and be a little bit more on time? So she was only 3 hours late on the second day.
Right.
When we set the mic up, I'd sent her a backing track and I didn't know what she was going to sing over the top. And as we kind of switched it on, me and my engineer, after the 4 hour wait, went, this better be good. 15 seconds later, we both nodded at each other and went, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
I mean, she's brilliant. She's got such a fantastic voice.
Did you write the lyrics?
Or do you
expect the collaborators to come along with it?
There's an interesting story about this, actually. I sent her like 4 backing tracks and they all had working titles, normally referring to the sample. That one was called the Withers one because it was a Bill Withers, the piano sample was Bill Withers. So the working title was the Withers one. And she thought that meant our song had to be written about withering. Hence, all my demons have withered away. It's like, no, I meant Bill Withers. All of your demons will wither away. Ecstasy comes and they cannot stay. You'll understand when you come my way. Cause all of my demons have withered away. All of your demons will wither away. Doing the greatest hits, I figured all I had to do was sit at home and watch TV and maybe like do the artwork. But apparently in this day and age, you have to do 2 new singles, which is a bit of a shock to me because I was planning on not working for a bit. And I wasn't quite sure what to do. Like, one of the reasons of doing the greatest hits is with the current state of dance music, I wasn't quite sure what to do. I was in the middle of doing the stuff with David Byrne. So yeah, there was a bit of soul searching went on. And then I decided to do one that sounded like old Fatboy Slim, which is Jeans, which is basically Praise You Part 3.
Yeah.
And one that would kind of indicate where I'd go with the next album, which right. is Champion Sound.
Right. Is the next album, are you anywhere in towards
no.
putting that together?
No. My head is full of selling the greatest hits.
Yeah.
The next 6 months. But no, at the moment I haven't got an idea for the new album, which is why I'm not making it.
But there will be one.
There will be one, yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I come up with a good idea.
Okay.
I think that's the best way of doing it. Don't make an album until you've got a good idea for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, if only record company contracts would let people do that.
Yeah, right. Well, luckily I've got a very understanding record company.
Yeah. All you used to do was put me down, but I found a way to pick myself up off the ground. And all you used to do was criticize me, but now I find a good and I emphasize it. See, you would always get so sensitive and try to turn your transgressions into my guiltiness. But now I'm certain of the way I live and what I'm responsible for in this twisted game. And it's such a shame that you try to make pain another word for my name. You booked dates around England fixtures on last World Cup and Euro 2004.
Yeah.
How about this World Cup?
Well, I was the official DJ of Japan 4 years ago, and the official DJ in Portugal. But I love travelling in Japan, and I love the people and the food, and I'm very successful over there. So that was great fun. Portugal was fantastic. We just got a villa with a pool, and just sat by the pool, and every 3 days I went and did a gig or watched a match. Germany, not very successful there, and not my favourite country, and not particularly sunny. So this year I'm going to do one gig, I think the night before the final, which I can't really talk about because it might not happen.
Okay.
But I didn't want to spend a month in Germany, basically. And also, the gig offers weren't very good. they didn't pay for the tickets.
But you are doing these huge shows. You're doing Port Rush. Loch Ness.
Loch Ness is going to be the big one. That's going to be the monster.
Isn't there an English show? Are you doing one of the big festivals or something as well?
I'm doing V, doing Global Gathering, and probably some others that I can't remember.
If people haven't seen you play live, what should they expect?
A very, very large LED screen with a load of lunatic visuals. Me perched 20 foot in the air in the screen, wearing a bad Hawaiian shirt, waving my arms around the air and playing dance records. Oh, and possibly playing a theremin. But basically, I've got this theremin that I play, and then I go down the front and play, and then we give it to the audience and they play it. It's a dub theremin. It's got like delay on it, so it goes whoop 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 whoop. So it's like instant King Tubby.
Okay. Well, we've had 10 years of Fatboy Slim and at least 20 years of your musical career. 10 years from now, will you still be doing this?
I hope so. I'll definitely still be making music, because I don't know how to do anything else. It's too late in life for me to, you know, learn how to put a suit on, do what I'm told and stuff like that. But 10 years time, I'll be 52. I'm not sure if I'll still be leaping around on stage. I'll probably be producing more. Probably still making records, but less of the touring and DJing.
All right, well, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much, Norman Cook, for inviting us to your lovely home in Brighton.
Prego.
Best of luck with your greatest hits record and with your huge gigs over the summer.
Well, thanks for coming down. And you look very nice in that frock.
Bubum.
You've been listening to The Times Podcast, produced by Unique.
As well as podcasts, the Sony Ericsson W810i Walkman phone can also store up to 150 of your favourite songs. Find out more at sonyericsson.com/W810i.